Have any questions for us, Steve, related to the hypothermia question in particular, or on the general socialist case?
Sort of anti that hypothermia statement. I spent a year in a mental hospital last year with a drug problem. And while I was in there, October, I noticed a large amount of old people dying. And they were sitting around the wards with blankets wrapped around them. And I was disturbed about this. So I went to the administrator of the hospital and asked him why the heating hadn't been switched on. And he told me that because of spending cuts, the heating was being kept off until November. Even though these people were dying in that hospital, and it was obvious to everyone, visitors, staff, and some patients, they just would not switch that heating on, and it was freezing.
I'm 63 now, and I know that this hypothermia question is about all of being shut up in a car. Well, it's not particularly Africa now, because I have travelled in other countries in the world, and I am to understand, perhaps my knowledge is not 100%, but I am to understand that the Scandinavian countries, which you must realise have far colder winters than what we have here, have their Norway, Sweden, Denmark, and possibly Finland now, a social system second to none. Well, is it not true that compared with them, that it's hypothermia is practically unknown in those cold countries? They manage to survive. I never heard of hypothermia in these. I have been in Stockholm, and lived this in Sweden. In the summertime, a Premier Liner's comparing those countries with us here in Britain. Is our position a disgrace when you look at them, or what? Tell me.
Well, I first of all say that poverty manifests itself in different ways in different parts of the world. And in Sweden, you're quite right, there's a very low level of people dying of the cold. But you see, I think that it's quite possible that they could do the same thing in this country. The point that is being made, and there are two important points here, one is that people repeatedly say no one dies of poverty in Britain. Our answer to them is to say, yes, tens of thousands of people die of poverty in Britain. And that's where we stand on that. We're making it quite clear that those who claim that nobody dies in Britain because they're too poor to stay alive, they're wrong, and we can disabuse them of any claim they make. But secondly, you see, in the Scandinavian countries, you get different forms of poverty. When you say these countries are second to none, these are capitalist countries. Production in the Scandinavian countries is for profit. The vast majority of people in the Scandinavian countries do not own the places where they work. There are many people in the Scandinavian countries who are unemployed. They recently had a major strike in Sweden. Why did they have that strike? That strike which took place in Sweden was because you had thousands of workers who were dissatisfied. We have a socialist companion organisation in Sweden. Why did that develop? Because workers in Sweden are dissatisfied. They are suffering from all kinds of deprivation. But let me say one word about poverty that's very important. Poverty is not simply defined by socialists as excessive deprivation. As far as we're concerned, you don't have to be lying on the ground, crawling around, to be suffering from poverty. Poverty means that you do not have control over the wealth and over the society in which you are living. And the working class in Sweden does not own and control the means of producing wealth in the society in which it lives. The working class in Sweden can be made unemployed. Old age workers in Sweden who are living on welfare payments are very often having to struggle and make unnecessary economic choices from day to day about whether they're going to buy one thing or another. As long as those choices have to be made in a world of potential abundance, you've got capitalism and we've got to get rid of it. Having said that, I've no doubt that the American workers are better fed than the Indian workers. I've got no doubt that there's more hypothermia in Britain than there is in Sweden. I've got no doubt that there are more people shot by the army in Ireland than in Scotland. That doesn't alter the fact that we're dealing with world capitalism, which throws up different problems in different areas, but it's the same rotten system, and workers of all countries have got to get rid of it.
Just to ask a question. The percentage of the hypothermia seems so alarming. What about these people that have old age? These kind of people, they die but when they get old or get some kind of disease. It's not all hypothermia, is it? I'm talking about in the winter. You know what I'm getting at?
Yeah. Well, the answer to that is it's... You're right, not everybody who dies in the winter. As I said, each winter, something like 50,000 more people over the age of 65 die and die in the summer.
That's right.
Many of them die of heart attacks, many of them die of all kinds of other illnesses. But the fact is, these aren't produced by the cold. You see, we're living in a society where people have got homes, we can build good shelter, we can heat that shelter, and there is no reason why a person who is likely to have a heart attack, if he's working out in the cold all day, shouldn't be able to stay inside in an adequately weak, heated home so that the temperature that he's living in during the summer, during the winter, is the same as during the summer. You see, let me give you an example. The Supplementary Benefits Commission carried out a report in 1976. That report found that the average person over the age of 65 in Britain spends as much money heating his or her home during the winter as a whole family does during the summer. In other words, most old people are not spending enough money on keeping themselves warm during the winter, and therefore hypothermia can be what is called a trigger cause of all kinds of other diseases and illnesses that kill people. There's no getting away from it. As I say, I don't claim to be a medical expert on it. I can only tell you that every report published by medical experts who have looked into this subject have argued that people are dying in their thousands of the cold every winter from diseases which they needn't die of if they were adequately heated. Why aren't they adequately heated? Not because they don't want to be, because they can't afford to be. It's as simple as that.
Just on the question of Scandinavia, it's worth remembering that in some parts of Scandinavia, the rate of heroin addiction is even higher than in London. In fact, the highest rate of heavy drug addiction in Europe is in some parts of Scandinavia. And I'm sure our friend here, who says he was treated for drug addiction, would be the first to vouch for the fact that that form of escapism, heavy drug addiction, is not something that people get stuck into the trap of because they're particularly happy with the way society is. It's worth remembering that about Scandinavia.
Well, of course, I'm one of these people as a champion of the Scandinavian system. And then you did mention that they had a strike in May 1980, and it was the first one in 50 years. So it's also doesn't often happen there.
Well, you know, the miners' strike at the moment is the first one of its length for a pretty similar time, and it doesn't mean that the miners have been well treated. It's been building up.
I thought, I'm not defending capitalism. It says that it's capitalism with a nice face.
Oh, well. Yes.
Generally, you'll probably find the death rate overall is a lot higher than particularly in January, the period between January and April.
Well, in fact, the worst period is in January and March. And what you'll find, I've got the figures in front of me, and These are the government figures. Let me put it to you this way. Every year during the winter months, there is something like 60,000 extra people who die, slightly less than that. 80% of that figure is made up of people over 65. So you're quite right, there are other people who die. I mean, with increasing unemployment, there are going to be cases, there already have been some, and there are going to be more, for people who die from a combination of malnutrition and hypothermia, because they're unemployed, they can't afford to switch on a heater. This will happen. Incidentally, I should mention that hypothermia, in answer to your question, doesn't exist on its own. It's also a mixture of having very bad food. If you're malnourished, if you haven't had enough to eat, your body temperature falls to 90 degrees Fahrenheit, which according to the BMA is perfectly all right, you will die because you haven't had anything to eat and you're too cold. And this happens, and it can happen to people under, you're right, it happens to a lot of people under 65, but the percentage is much greater with older people. They tend to live on their own, services aren't adequate. Here in the borough of Islington, they've got a very big problem with hypothermia. They find that there's an organisation in Islington called Pensioners Link, used to be called Task Force. Now, they haven't carried out figures for Islington, but they carried out figures for Hackney in 1981, and what they found was that they interviewed something like 25% of the people over 65 in the borough of Hackney, and of those who answered, 34% said that they lived most days during the winter in conditions in which they were feeling very cold. 32% said they were quite cold, and another 34% said they were adequately heated. So you see, 34% of old people in Hackney sent questionnaires, sent them back, and said that they were living in conditions which are very cold. Now, I spoke with a chief geriatric consultant in Islington the other day, and the position that he put to me was that although the same questionnaire hadn't been carried out, he's quite sure that the figures are the same. They are, I can assure you, on a weekly basis in the Whittington Hospital in Islington, they are having people going in and dying of hypothermically caused diseases. That's happening during the winter. It's not happening at the moment, but it's happening.
The question of people dying from hypothermia raises this point from other diseases that people die from. For instance, cancer, which kills thousands every year. And many other diseases, which in a society which everything has to have money in order for it to function. If you always see these big posters and you see these fight cancer campaigns, it seems that's also another indictment on society in which we live. If you had a socialist society where there wasn't that restriction of money, I'm quite positive in my mind that doctors could eliminate cancer within a year, probably even under that time span. I'm quite sure of it. If you were to say to doctors, look, take the resources that you need, there's going to be no restrictions, and we're in a socialist society now, they could eliminate cancer quite easily if they didn't have those restrictions. And I'm sure with other related illnesses to environmental reasons, those diseases could also be eliminated in a society which put human needs before profit.
Well, some cancers are definitely environmentally caused, there's no doubt about that, and most doctors would agree, although cancer is a very broad term because there are all kinds of different cancers, and I don't know whether you're right. I think there are some cancers that would take a lot longer to actually cure. I don't think that, and I'm sure you would agree, socialism's not a utopia. What it would do, it would break down the barriers which exist at the moment to researching. But I'll give you a few examples. I think it was in 1982, the Imperial Cancer Research Campaign, which goes around the streets with begging bowls, collecting money, collected about £1 million. The British government, every single hour of the day and night, spends on average £1.4 million on the production of armaments. So every single hour of the day and night, you've got £1.4 million going on armaments. In 1 year, all of these people going around the street with our begging bowls get 1 million quid. Now, of course, you've only got to reverse it. Get the people from the Ministry of Defence going out with a begging bowl saying, we're collecting for neutron bombs, give us a penny. See how much they get. And instead, let's see the resources going in, not money, because money doesn't solve problems, resources do. Let's see the resources going in to solving the problems which do face millions of people. I'll give a very good example. In University College, London, there was a research project going. I knew one of the people who worked on it fairly well, and it was a particularly sad case, I suppose. They were working into a cure for liver cancer. One of the terrible things about capitalism is you've got one set of scientists working in Russia, you've got another set in America, you've got different companies competing with each other, and they're not telling each other their secrets. If they all got together, if we broke down the barriers, if we said we're one world, one people, one set of diseases, let's cure them, think how much easier it will be. Anyway, in University College, they had quite a bit of a... They went quite some way towards a cure for liver cancer, which is incidentally one of their most terrible and untreatable forms of cancer, because it's an organ of the body which is both vital and, at the moment, not really safely transplantable, if that's a word. And the trouble about that is that this person who was working on a project was away in Switzerland at an international conference. They were very kind enough to spend the money on sending a telegram to him in Switzerland saying, we are sorry to tell you that the Science Research Council has decided to take away the grant, take away all of the workers on it. We're going to leave you all your old notes. You're allowed to keep them. They were, in fact, legally empowered to even take away his research findings, but they let him have those, but they're quite useless without carrying on the work for another 4 or 5 years. The particularly sad end to that case was that the man concerned committed suicide. And this is what happens. You actually have scientists killing themselves because they've worked, in this particular case, for years on a cure for a disease. Go away to an international conference, tell people how far you've got, tell them how near you are to finding the end. You get a telegram while you're there telling you, sorry, it's not economically rational to let you carry on. This is a kind of tragedy that ought to drive anyone to being a socialist. Last year, the Science Research Council gives... The Science Research Council is the main grant awarding body in Britain for giving grants. 80% of grants given last year